Maybe Justin, you can mention what your flow looks like when you're developing.
Oh, it's always changing, it seems like right now, but it's a lot of Gemini CLI to assist me, and often an IDE and kind of back and forth with that to work through whatever problem it is. Sometimes I'm in an app doing deep research to generate like a markdown document and sticking that into my code base to kind of guide things along.
Welcome to the Developer Spotlight. Today I have two guests, both in from my team. On my left is Justin, right is Pierrick, and I'm Vinay. We're all part of the Google Workspace Developer Relations team. And so let me just get started. Let's start with maybe Pierrick. Tell me about the event that happened the last 2 days here in Paris and then in Sunnyvale as well.
Well, Sunnyvale was 2 weeks ago. It was pretty good. I loved it. We had a really good audience, good talks. And this week it was pretty similar in Paris. We had the same tracks, same talks as well, pretty much. And I had the chance to be the MC of a specific track,
Nice.
Which is the it's called the in-house developer track.
Okay.
The idea is to discuss things about developers who do things for their own organization or for themselves or for a specific team. So it, will be mostly about AppScript and customization,
Nice.
things like that. I think because I was the MC, I was able to see, this full track in Paris, and I felt like it was mostly about AI, AppScript, obviously because of the track,
It's
but a
always about
lot of
AI.
AI, obviously. But this time, much better than last year, I think, because it was more about tooling and productivity with AI, not only just generating stuff.
Right.
And I think Justin has a few things to
Yeah.
say about
What
it.
was your experience like?
Yeah, it was just a lot of fun to hear how people are using AI to kind of be more productive with Workspace and build add-ons and use AppScript. And everyone has a different pattern, it seems like. And so just hearing from everyone is great,
Yeah, I
for
think it's
myself and everything.
right. I think even so, we're all in the we all de developer relations, so we do a lot of development, like writing samples and documentation. But I feel like all of us, even being in the same team, we have a different workflow. Maybe Justin, you can mention what your flow looks like when you're developing.
Oh, it's always changing, it seems like right now, but it's a lot of Gemini CLI to assist me, and often an IDE and kind of back and forth with that to work through whatever problem it is. Sometimes I'm in an app doing deep research to generate like a markdown document and sticking that into my code base to kind of guide things along. It
It
varies.
changes, yeah. How about
Every
you, Vinay?
project, yeah.
I'm not that advanced, to be honest.
Okay.
Justin is really way ahead of me. But that's actually good because on my side, I'm still doing the basic thing of copy pasting from Gemini, like
Okay.
going from
You mean the
multiple
Gemini
tabs in
app,
my
right? Yeah. You mean the Gemini app. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
yeah. So I will have like multiple tabs on my Chrome, and then I will just copy paste, like that, and have building the context each time and things like that. But so I'm really, really at the beginning.
Okay.
But the good thing is that I learned a lot during the summit because of Justin talks and different things we've done, like the CLI and everything. I've seen that live with your demos, for example. And I learned how people are trying to do it. So I feel like next step for me will be to try it a bit more. I feel like people are more productive when they do
Yeah,
that,
it
but it takes
is.
some time to adjust and find the right way of doing it. I think it's different for everyone.
Right. Yeah. No. I fell into the bandwagon too of using Gemini CLI. I'll talk about that in a bit. But one of the interesting things was how, even for myself, I've started seeing how my developer journey has changed too. Where I was never using AI tools and I'm using too much of them. I know right now, like
How do you
Gemini.
know it's too much?
Well, we'll figure that out. But for example, like one of the talks that Justin, you did about using all these tools, like MCP servers, for example, one of the problems I had was Gemini CLI right now doesn't have a way to pass temperature. And I was too lazy to, you know, submit a pull request. And I was like, I want to do this quickly. So guess what I did? I used Jules. Anyone use Jules?
Yeah.
And I asked Jules to write the code for me and create a PR for the... So it's still pending, but yeah, it did the work for me.
So you went from a feature request to a PR.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was amazing. Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff around developer productivity. I know we had some folks that gave a talk on developer. Jasper's talk was one of them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wasn't in the room, so I missed it. Maybe some. Did anyone of you catch some interesting points?
Yeah, it's interesting to see the layers that, you know, developers have built on top of these tools. You know, having sub agents and different personas, and having this whole team of AI kind of agents working together to work on an app, for instance.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And I know you've been working, dabbling with some agentics, ADKs, and...
Yeah. I feel like my feeling when I heard Jasper's talk was he built this whole system only with LLM.
Okay.
And on his own, like, you know, with his own ideas and own concepts. But it was really something that would come sometime,
right,
and being more tooled. And this is what we call agentic apps, and, you know, this ADK AI agent, for example, nowadays, which is like you have a root agent, but it can play with a lot of sub agents that you can define, and they will have like really specific purposes,
almost like minions, like the agents and the minions to do their
specialized minions.
Well,
I guess the main difference is that minions are look pretty alike.
Okay.
But this time it's like you can specify really, really specific purposes, and you can specify also the tools they have access to. So they are really, you know, into a really one specific thing they do pretty well. And working together, they can interact with each other pretty well.
Right.
And then come back with an answer that is like, yeah, that's a full team work delivering on something that is complex.
Right. Nice.
So it's you're really going from I'm generating this using LLM to a lot of people or virtual people, agents, working together to produce something.
Yeah, but then we have this problem where there's a lot of context that needs to be shared. I don't know if you have faced into a situation where one agent or one tool has no idea what the other tool or agent is speaking. Have anyone come up a way to solve this?
Well, there's definitely protocols for doing that.
Okay.
I wonder if, like, this is a short-term problem where, like, at least for, like, developer tools, if, you know, we're just trying to work through some of the limitations by kind of creating these specialties, if those will just kind of go away as the tooling and the underlying models get better. But, yeah, in terms of, like, using that in your application, there's standardized protocols that are being developed to kind of, you know, communicate.
Right. I know. You built one for the developer documentation for workspace stuff. Maybe you can talk about a little bit about.
Yeah. That. So that's you know, using MCP or model context protocol to expose, you know, tools, resources, and, you know, prompts that you can share from kind of through a standardized pattern that works in, you know, different AI kind of applications and clients.
Nice.
And so for this MCP server that I created was for workspace developers to get the, you know, up-to-date documentation, find code snippets to kind of improve the context for working with workspace.
Nice. Yeah. So I had the Gemini CLI presentation I did for the Google Developers Group. That was interesting. It was very well received. I had a half an hour to do that, but we went over because it was so interesting, challenging, and fun. So this was my first time using Gemini CLI to build something that I can build on my own. I know how to build a workspace add-on, but I had to show, you know, folks that, hey, you can write zero lines of code and build a workspace add-ons. And one of the challenges I had was depending on whatever model you do, it hasn't learned new stuff. So you had to provide a lot of context in different ways.
Yeah.
One was like MCP servers. The other was like the Gemini.markdown file, right? And so I'm also learning. Are you learning any new ways to make the AI work better for you?
Not really, to be honest. Again, I'm not really into all this research, at least not now.
Okay. But, I know you had a talk about developer productivity. Maybe you can share some stuff that attendees found really useful.
Yeah, a lot of it was just around managing context, like you were saying about, you know, having the up-to-date information and kind of like customizing the context for the specific project that you're working on.
Yes.
Giving those hints and, you know, kind of asking nicely to do it a certain way, for example.
Right. I know me and you had a discussion where we're talking about how in short term we can try building an app just by providing the agents, the Gemini CLI, context from PRD's the product requirements document and design docs. We haven't tried that. Have you tried that? Or?
Yeah, I did. Like I was saying a little earlier, taking, you know, like communicating with like Gemini app to like generate a PRD and then going from there to generate a design doc and taking that as markdown, sticking it into the code base, and then, you know, having Gemini CLI kind of use that as the background to like implement the app. So it's, you know, kind of working through some of the logistics that need to happen for the implementation.
Right.
And giving that
In
that rules file or, you know, the context file.
Right.
I guess one question is, because you looked into it, if you had to list the most useful type of context we can provide, you know, for the Google Workspace developers today, and maybe we know will come in the future, what would you list? I guess documentation with your MCP server, for sure.
But yeah, you know, that will change too. But yeah, from...
I'm thinking, for example, code samples is something that is challenging to put in context right now. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So I'll go back to the Gemini CLI vibe coding session I did. And I was trying to have Gemini CLI create images, a cat image, using Nano Banana, which is, I think, Gemini 2.5 Flash image model. And interestingly, the Gemini CLI model hadn't learned on how to use this new model. Mm-hmm. So when I was trying with it, it kept reusing in the beginning was using deprecated models like Flash, Gemini 1.5. And I had to keep telling Gemini CLI, like, hey, this model is deprecated, new one. And interestingly, when I asked it to use the Flash image model, it said like, oh, the user is incorrect. This model doesn't exist. And so I had to provide it context, like it does exist. I had to provide it articles, provide more context. I even had to point it to code samples that I had in our GitHub repository.
So you need a solution, is it?
Yeah, like I was nudging it to do what I wanted to do. But yeah, those are some challenges. I know you had some challenges.
Well, yeah, getting this back to Workspace, maybe it's like, you know, saying this is a editor add-on versus a different Workspace add-on that's used in the card framework. Yeah. You know, putting those kind of that information up front in that context file can help things, you know, avoid going down the wrong path, basically, with the AI.
Any new features Workspace related anyone excited about? I know Flows is a big one.
I can maybe change the path a bit and stop talking about AI.
Let's do that.
So something we released a few months back, I believe it was a few months back, it's, you know, being able to publish a Google Workspace add-on with a chat app inside bundled as a single add-on.
Right.
So you would develop your add-on before, let's take a step back. Before that, you had to develop your chat app. It would be specific item you will just have on the marketplace. Same thing with the Google Workspace add-on for different applications like Docs or, you know, Slides. But many people were kind of upset or not really happy with that, because then you have to manage two different entities, one for the chat app and one for the others. So what we've done is provide a new framework that makes it possible to bundle the chat app with the other apps within the same add-on.
Right.
And that makes a huge difference, because then you can reach a lot of people using chat, and it's also a new way to interact with your add-on which is in more natural form, natural language. And then that's also pretty important today because we are talking about all these. I'm talking AI again.
Yeah. Oh, no, you have to.
I did 2 minutes without AI, but I'm coming back to AI. So, yeah, the thing is now we have this this chat app that is kind of part of the add-on, the same add-on. Then you can also interact with natural language. And because you can do that, you have obviously the link to agents or AI agents that is quite natural because then you can talk to your agents about something that is related obviously to your add-on globally and do something with your natural language instead of clicking on the add-on sidebar, for example, when you're trying to do something.
Yes.
So that's...
You built something around that, right, where you have... a chat app agent, I don't know if it was as well, that knows about all your workspace tools, correct?
Yeah, so something I didn't recently was playing around with this, because now that we have that, I try to build having an agent somewhere that is built for a specific purpose. And I've been using ADK for that, which is a framework to build agent.
Right.
So it's really... not Google Workspace at this stage. It's really something that you do on your side. You are an AI expert or someone who is able to do that. You want to play with it. So you have your agent. But this agent is difficult to reach from Google Workspace because we don't really have anything to include an agent in any way by default. So my thought process was, well, now that we have this chat app and we can have this integrated in a single add-on, that would be nice to connect to this agent and see how it goes. So what I've done is I just wrote some code to interface easily with this ADK agent.
Right.
I deployed it on Vertex AI. So Vertex AI provides you with a few APIs that you can use to interact with this agent.
Okay, nice.
And then the idea was to make sure that this interaction makes sense visually in the graphic user interface. So what I've done is make sure that whatever the agent is responding can translate visually on the chat app, for example. So it will be like the agent is sending a message with the maybe a part of the answer because you have multiple agents working together. So and sometimes it takes time. So you want to stream the responses as they, as they're working on it.
Okay.
And then you have it on chat app. That's nice. But what about having it in other layers, other apps, so that, you can use this agent from Docs as well.
Yeah.
So what I've done is, well, the API calls, everything is the same, right? But the UI is different because it's not the chat. So I built something that is generic enough for all the different apps that we have in Google Workspace add-on. And there it's, it's not a chat, but you can see the responses going on and being updated live.
Right.
And the good thing is that you can provide context to your agent because you are in Docs, so you can have access to your documents, right?
Yes.
Or if you're on Drive, you have access to the different documents as well you have on Drive. So you can select something, you have your context of, whatever you're doing. Or maybe you open an email. And then you can just say, okay, I'm talking to my agent or I make a request. I want you to know about this email I'm currently selecting. And then, the integration is starting to be really interesting.
Right. But I know one of the challenges we had, so the language of AI is text or markdown.
Yeah.
But chat app, the language is not essentially... I know we had a new feature.
Yeah.
And now, do you want to mention that too?
Yeah, that was really an issue, to be honest. I think we launched that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have something for the, for the Sunnyvale Summit. But I was like, this is not, it doesn't... It produces Markdown, but I cannot really have that in the chat. So I was like, I have the whole thing, but it doesn't look good. and it's I don't want to play with, you know, transforming Markdown.
Yep.
So I knew about this this feature that was coming up, so I was waiting for it. And the good thing is that it happened right before the summit started, Paris. So I was able to integrate that, and that looks awesome. And there is another feature that released at the same time. It's called Carousel.
Okay.
So the good thing is, I believe it's only specific to chat, but the thing is, when you have a list,
okay,
that's usually the case when some, you know, the agent is coming back with some answer.
Yeah.
Usually providing some options or with some images with URLs and things like that.
Okay.
So the good thing with Carousel is that you can have different tiles for different options, and mm-hmm. for each of them you can integrate with a really interesting UI, like an image or a button. Or nice. you can even have actions based on the different buttons you have. So you can really have something really well integrated.
Is that card-based, card service?
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah. So that's a new widget.
Uh-huh.
But that's really interesting to have that in the context of an agent, because the agent is providing so much information in different form, and that you can illustrate differently.
Yes. Yeah. I think the next missing tool that we don't have is how to convert Markdown to card service. So that should
I would love to have that. Yeah. Well, maybe an MCP will do it.
I don't know. Would that help? Like if having a MCP?
That's more like at the SDK level, but we could definitely work on something like that.
Well, something I would love to see is maybe not something that will generate it live, but you know, for example, when you build your agent, you specify the output format,
mm-hmm.
so you know what kind of structure you have. So as soon as you have that when you're developing, you're supposed to be able to generate, you know, some sort of prototype of visually this can be illustrated like that, and then with cards, and then you're good, and you can put that in your app and get started pretty quickly or something like that.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be dynamic at runtime.
Yeah, I was exploring with MCP, just taking a JSON and kind of iterating to, you know, kind of pre-render and let the AI kind of iterate to create the perfect card based upon the prompt.
Mm-hmm.
Still need to work on that because there's some hacks underneath it with, you know, scraping the website for the card tool. But yeah,
it's kind of exciting. Oh, we don't have an AI tool that would do UI wireframes, do we? Like I like to be able to explain to AI that, hey, I want a form or something, and it produces the wireform, even the HTML or JSON. That would be amazing. I don't think that exists right now.
No. I would love to, you know what, I don't know if we'll have to cut here, but I would love to see something with Figma, like we design something on Figma.
Uh-huh.
I know they have an MCP as well in the works.
Okay.
Will be awesome. Like if you can design your cards in Figma and you have an MCP that does that, could be really interesting. For all developers, you know, if they use Figma with designers and so on, that will be a really, really good connection as well. It's not only developers, right? It's showing to the entire company, I'm building this.
Right.
I need the budget or the resources to do it, things like that.
Yeah, that seems like something we could kind of do, is you're taking this kind of this end goal, which is this design pattern that you want it to look like that. We have the specification for cards,
mm-hmm.
and we just need to tie in the pieces. Kind of, I explored this a little bit where the AI can iterate on the JSON until it matches basically with the card output. So
yeah,
we should show that.
Yeah, we should. Yeah,
we should build it.
Let's do it. We're going to do it right after this spotlight. So I'm going to switch some topics. Let's talk about what were some of the most interesting talks that you were able to attend, and anything that excited you, kind of made you think about what you're going to work next based on what's happening right now.
Yeah, for me, it was just kind of the orchestration layer on top of the AI developer tools. I can get stuck in that and just like try to optimize my processes and to, you know, submit the PR that changes 10 lines.
Oh, I can
spend an hour trying to optimize this agent does it this way, and I have another agent to review. So I always get excited about kind of how developers are doing that.
Right. And it's like the different ways I could process.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
How about you, Pierre?
On my side, I think what stand out is the things people got excited with flows that we are developing right now. So on my side, I feel like it's important for people to know that, you know, it's coming, something is coming. Mm-hmm. And there will be some extension opportunities for developers or some need to do it.
Yes.
So they, I think they should pay attention to it, just monitor what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that the whatever we have today will be exactly what will launch at the end.
Yes.
But something is coming, and developers will be part of it in some ways. So I think that's important. And I think people got excited somehow by the use cases and so on. We got a lot of questions. So I think there is some traction, on flows. And the second one is pretty much what Justin said. Like I told you, I'm still copy-pasting.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So many of you guys are so much advanced
I've
ahead of me.
I've moved away from copy-paste.
Yeah,
things,
well, I need to play with CLI now.
So yeah, one of the things that Flows was exciting was the highlight of our events, both here in Paris and in Sunnyvale. The one major request I had was for custom triggers. Everyone kept coming, hey, when's custom triggers coming to Flows? And hopefully we'll do that. The other one was, this is very close and dear to me, is having a custom action, not custom action, but a primitive step that just lets you call a app script function or app script scripts. Because right now, if you want to call an app script function, you have to build a whole new Flows add-on.
Mm-hmm.
So I had folks from Airbus and whatnot. It's like, hey, I just want to call a custom function, but I don't want to build the add-on. So I was like, oh yeah, there was my first feature request for this. So
I think that makes me think about something we have for AppSheets, right? It is really famous. It's one of the best features ever, right?
Exactly. So all these folks have been using AppSheet, and they know they can call a custom AppScript function, and so they come with that mindset to Flows too.
Mm-hmm.
And so for them, it's like, why can I do this thing that I can do in this other app, right? So yeah, we have to explain it to them. Any other thing that popped out?
One of the takeaways I had is everyone loves AppScript and they're doing tons of things with it and tons of crazy things with it too.
Even on the repeat track, they will be super advanced in AppScript and prototyping and so on, and sometimes just releasing with it. So it's interesting.
Yeah, one other sentiment about, everyone loves AppScript, but then one of the many sentiments I had about AppScript, it's still stuck in this primitive IDE. So why can I use VS Code? I was like, you can use VS Code with Clasp and stuff, but you're gonna miss some of those things. The other one is, we're already calling a lot of AI in our day-to-day, and we're using apps to call AI, but now they want AI support, AI code assist within AppScript, and I want AI to write code for me inside AppScript IDE. And I'm like, hopefully that comes someday. But those were some of the things that came to me.
I think we got to talk that, discuss a little bit about the what's next for AppScript. I'm saying that because at some point, I guess we'll be publishing the sessions that we had here in Paris and some in Sunnyvale.
Okay.
So it could be interesting, for people to know that at some point we'll have these sessions on demand. They can watch them if they need to learn more about all that. I think that's important to know.
Okay. We're almost at the time. Any last words from you, Justin and Pierrick? Anything you want to add before?
No, not really.
I mean, I would just say check out, the developer MCP server for Google Workspace and the VS Code extension that we have that helps with OAuth scopes in your editor to kind of guide you on the right path.
And those are public repos, so they can contribute to that too and make the context more. Anything you wanted to add?
I think people are here watching this video from YouTube. I think they should subscribe and
and
learn from there.
we
usually do it as you want, but I think people, we usually publish really interesting content on YouTube, so I think that that's a really good channel for people to monitor as well.
With that, we'll end our spotlight today. Thank you for attending our talks if you were here in Paris or in Sunnyvale. Hope to see you next time. Thank you.
Bye.